to 2 Samuel, if you would, the 19th chapter, 2 Samuel, chapter 19. And I'll just read three verses this morning, 2 Samuel, chapter 19. We'll begin reading with the 9th verse. Second Samuel chapter 19 and verse 9. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why speak you not a word of bringing the king back?" And the king and King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priests, saying, "Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house?" I'm glad the king is coming. I think one of the tragedies in the church today and one of the major problems in the average church in America is we have fallen in the same trap that the Israelites had fallen into. Nobody was talking about the king coming back. My, what a parallel this is to Jesus. When they spoke these words, David was in exile. He was away from the throne, exiled from the throne. We know that he had crossed over Jordan, was about 50 miles away, down and separated from the people of Israel. And after crossing Jordan, they finally reached the point where they realized the king's enemy was not going to sit on the throne. He had already been defeated. He was dead in the battle that he had fought. And they begin to speak and say, "Why doesn't somebody say something about bringing the king back?" And all of a sudden, people that at one time stood stooped in the streets, no children playing in the streets or in the houses, they begin to jump with joy and begin to rejoice. Undoubtedly started to sing that 24th Psalm over and over again that says, "Lift up your head, ye gates of Zion. He is coming again, the King of glory." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Somebody said it's time to start talking about the fact that the king is coming again. Let's get this right. 2,000 years ago, Jesus crossed over Jordan, but he gave us a promise before he went away. And he said, "If I go, I will come again." Now, folks may not want to talk about it, and they may not want to recognize it, but the fact remains the same. The king is still coming. Jesus is on his way. There's no stopping it. Time is moving toward it, and we realize his coming is nearer this morning than it's ever been before. And if there's ever an hour that you need to be ready for the coming of the Lord, it's in this time that we're living in. We look and we see wars on every hand. We see strife and violence. We see homes torn apart. We see the enemy trying to take this world. But thank God, he has already been defeated, and the king is coming back. Why don't you say a word about Jesus coming again? Well, he is coming. You know, the Bible likens him as king in four different ways concerning Christ. First, we see him in Scripture as the rejected king. You know the story. The Word of God says he was the despised and rejected king. Jesus put it this way, "I come unto my own, and my own receive me not." The world never wanted to recognize him as king. In fact, if I've searched Scripture correctly, I only find three places while he was here on earth that they really understood that he was king. The first time was when the wise men came to visit him. And they asked of Herod, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" That's the first mention of him being king when he was a baby. They realized even at his birth that he was king. But Herod didn't realize that. And the political system didn't realize that. And those around, very few of them realized that. It was a small group that came to worship him. But that small group recognized that he was king. The second time that we read that he was recognized as king was just before his death. He was entering into the city, and the people gave him his rightful recognition when they went before him and began to shout with joy and said, "Hosanna in the highest." for the King cometh. That's the second time he was regarded as king. The third time he was regarded as king was by Pilate. Pilate said, take him out. Put a sign above his head, and on that sign inscribed in three languages, King of the Jews. He was only recognized on three occasions, but you understand this, when he comes back, he'll not be despised nor rejected, but every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He may be rejected in your life. They had no room for Jesus, and a lot of people have no room for Jesus today. No room in their homes, no room on their jobs, no room in the world. But that doesn't change the fact he's coming, and one day he'll no longer be rejected. But I don't want to be in that number that hears the words, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to recognize it now. I want to invite him into my home, into my life. Never turn Jesus away. That's the sin you're guilty of that will lead you to hell for all eternity, is rejecting Christ. He is the rejected king. He's also the rightful king. He's the rightful king because, I think we could say he's the rightful king because of his creation. By creation, he made it all. The earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. Not only by creation, but by redemption. The Bible says in Romans 14:9, to this end came he into the world, to die and resurrect and be revived, that he may be Lord. Let's get this right. He came to tell the world and show the world that he is the rightful king. There's no one that can take his place. He's still the rightful king. By his creation and by his redemption, John, as he was looking at the books, and they were sealed up in Revelation 5, John said, the angel searched. There was no man in heaven worthy to unloosen the seals. There was no man on earth, neither any man under earth, worthy to unloosen the seals. John said, I started to weep. I wonder if that angel didn't look over and say, listen, John, there's no weeping up here, buddy. Dry your tears. There's somebody worthy. And John said, behold, I saw him. Who was he? He was the Lamb in the midst on the throne. That's the king. Only a king can sit on a throne. Our king is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the rightful king. Never let anyone tell you that anyone can overthrow him or has power over him. He's the rightful king. He is the righteous king. Other kings throughout the Bible, I hate to say this, but you know that it's true. Very few kings in Scripture were good men. Most of them, if they were good men when they came to power, once they gained that authority and that power, they became wicked. They became corrupt by it. I know it's an old saying, but it's true. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And you'll find out in the world about any time that they opt to choose a dictator and give that dictator total control, that dictator will probably do wicked things and before it's over, even turn on their people. You'll not find in Scripture very many righteous kings. Some, they were righteous for a period of time. But you'll have to look at their life. You say, wait a minute, what about David? Well, what about David? He desired Bathsheba, was responsible for another man's life. That's not righteousness. You say, now, wait a minute, what about Solomon? What about Solomon? He had so many wives. Can you imagine 700 mother-in-laws? What about him? He said, I've searched all kinds of things. Listen to what Solomon said. He said, it's all vanity and vexation. You'll find out he tried liquor and it didn't solve it. That's not a righteous king. He said he tried money, and that didn't solve the problem. He searched everywhere. Yes, finally, he came to the understanding the fear of the Lord was the beginning of wisdom. But still, there was sin in his life. You could name any king you want to in Scripture, and they weren't righteous all the time. But now let's examine Jesus. He stands before His accusers on mock trials, and they're trying to find something wrong that He's done. But again they say, I find no fault in Him. Hallelujah! He is the righteous King. That's why one day He'll stand as your judge, because of His righteousness and His purity. He is also the returning King. He went away. The world doesn't want to accept the fact He came the first time. They're having a real hard time with that. By the way, it's not Merry Xmas. It's Merry Christmas. It's about Him. It's not about us. It's about Him. But just as sure as He came the first time, He's coming again. Do you know that the only way that you can keep yourself pure is by living in a conscious awareness that Jesus could come anytime and you could meet Him face to face? The Bible says that if any man hath this hope, that this hope he purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Why? Because we know not when He shall appear, but we know that we shall be like Him when He shall appear. And He said, with the hope of His appearing, it helps us live a godly life. It purifies us. I'm sure that a lot of you had family for the holidays in, and it's a blessed time. Can't you always tell around your house when company's coming? I mean, let's be honest. I don't know about you all, but we like our house to look just a little better than normal when important people's coming. You know, you want to make your folks think you live like that all the time. You clean things you don't touch any other time. Go ahead and laugh. You know what I'm talking about. And there's nothing wrong with that. Family's coming, and you want it to be nice, and you make sure everything's in its place. I thought Thursday when I sat and looked at that table setting, I thought, what are those dishes? I've never eaten off those before. But you want to have the best out. It's not to even impress them. It's because you love them. Family's coming. You haven't seen them in a long time. And you're going to sit down to a meal together. And you want it to be as best as possible when they come. And you want to make sure they're comfortable. And you put out the best for them. I've got news for you, folks. Thank God when Jesus comes. You talk about a table. He's going to set out the best for us. But by the way, I want to make sure my house is clean when He comes. I want to make sure I'm doing what's pleasing to Him when He comes, because He is coming again. He's a returning King. Years ago, one of the kings of England, every time he would go out on his chariot and take a ride, the people would mob him and cheer him. They'd say, long live the king! Long live the king! People by the roadside would wave at him. An old woman just down the street, come to my house and eat. Come to my house and eat. He'd travel a little further. A man would stand beside his house. Come spend the night with me. They offered him all things. And one day the king started thinking, do they really love me, or do they love my chariot and horses, my scepter and my crown? Is it the person they love or the position they love? So the king for 3 months let his hair grow and his beard grow. At the end of 3 months, he gave the orders to his servants, said, I want you to find me beggar's clothes. And he put on beggar's clothes. And he started to leave the castle. And before he left the palace, he told them, said, whatever you do, you stay here. Don't tell anyone I'm gone. Don't let it out. I don't know if I'll be gone an hour, a day, or a week. You just be waiting on me when I get back, because I've got a trip I want to make. The king started down the street, and the first one he came across was that lady. There she was. He said, ma'am, I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat? Get out of here, you old tramp. Don't come around here. Who do you think you are? He walked down the street with a tear in his eye. He came to that man's house. He said, sir, night sitting on? Can I have a place to sleep? Who do you think you are? You bum, get out! I don't have any room for you. Get out! He searched through his whole kingdom, that city, and couldn't find anyone in that great city that would take him in or feed him a meal. And when they'd make their trips with the chariot, they'd always go to one point and turn around. And he'd reach the end of that route, traveling by foot, and nobody had accepted him. Nobody had said a kind word to him. And he noticed a little shack sitting a few hundred yards down the road. And he went down to that little shack and he knocked on the door. And a little girl answered the door and said, "Why, hello, sir. Won't you come in?" The dad came to the door and said, "Wait a minute. This man lives on the street. You know the law. You know the law. We're not allowed to take in a tramp. If we take in a tramp, we'll be punished." She said, "Daddy, please bring him in." He looked cold and he looked hungry. Said, "You can give him my soup." He said, "Mister, don't you want a bed to sleep in tonight?" "Yes, honey, that'd be great." Said, "I tell you what, I'll sleep with Mom and Daddy tonight and you can have my bed." That king laid there as a tramp that night in that bed. Had eaten that little girl's soup. The next morning he got up and he asked the parents, said, "Can I say a kind word to your daughter in private before I leave?" She said, "Yes, certainly." He took her outside the doors of that little shack and he bent down and he said, "Now, honey, thank you for your kindness." She said, "Oh, I was glad to do it." She said, "I like you, you know. You're a good man. I know you're a good man." And he said, "Honey, I want you to do something." He said, "Look into my eyes. Stare at my eyes." She looked into his eyes. She said, "Well, those are the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen." He said, "Do you see my eyes good?" "Yes." He said, "Honey, I'll be back one day and you'll know me. You'll know me." And he left. He made that trip back to the palace. When he arrived back, he said to the servants, "Get the chariots ready. Get the best robe out. Laden down the chariot and the carriage with plenty of goods. We're going to make a round." And finally, after about 3 hours, he cleaned himself up and he came out with the scepter and with the crown, got on that chariot lined in gold and started down the street. And the first one he met was that woman. "Come to my house and eat." And he looked at her and said, "I was hungered and you gave me no meat." And he went on his way. Down the block, the man said, "Come to my house and spend the night." He said, "I was weary and you gave me no place to rest." They came down to that place where the chariot always turned around. He said, keep going a little farther." They went down to the end of that shack and they knocked on the door. And there the little girl opened the door. And she said, "Oh, Daddy, it's the king. They've come to get us for taking care of that tramp." And she said to the king, not realizing what she'd done, she said, "Sir, I know we took that man in, but he was hungry and he needed a bed to sleep in, and I'd do it again tomorrow. I'm not sorry that I've done it." He said, "Wait a minute, sweetheart. Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes." And she started jumping up and down and said, "Oh, my. Yesterday the world treated him like a tramp, and today he's a king. Thank God. This world treats Jesus like a tramp today. They make no room in their house for him. They give him nothing to eat. They don't care about his cause. But you understand this. He's coming back as king. It could be today. It could be before this service is over. He's returning again. And you best know that you're ready when he comes." None of us know how long we have. But we can know this. We can be ready when he comes. I've made a lot of trips out of the country now. God's helped us and blessed us to reach a lot of people. And I don't begrudge one of those trips. Some of them were hard, difficult. Always good to go away. Blessed to see folks saved. But I want to tell you something. No matter how good the trip was, the best part of the trip is always when you get to come home. Amen. The best part of this trip is when we get to go home. It could be today. All I can do for you that are lost here this morning
And you that are not living a life that's pure before God, and you know that, all I can do is put up the warning sign and try to tell you, company's coming. Most important company you'll ever have in your life. And you better make sure your heart is clean. I don't want to meet Jesus and hear the words, I was hungry and you fed me not. I was cold and you clothed me not. Over these next few weeks, you'll have the opportunity to be a blessing to people. Isn't it funny how God puts the strangest things on your heart sometimes? And when He lays it on your heart and you do it, you don't even understand why. And you may never fully understand it here. But you just wait until the King comes. Why don't we speak a word about Him coming? Be sure to let your loved ones know. Yes, He came the first time. But hallelujah, He's coming again. Would you be kind enough to stand with me throughout the sanctuary? And Brother Howard's coming, going to get an invitational song. As we sing this morning, if you're here and you need the Lord, it would be a wonderful time to walk these aisles and say yes to Him. You're not here just by mere chance. You're here because God's given you one more warning. Jesus is coming. He's coming. If He comes today, are you ready? You're the only one knows that. I know the things the devil will say. Why go up there to the front? What's in the front of that altar? It can't do me any good. It's not what is here. It's who will meet you here that makes the difference. His name is Jesus. And even though your life may be filled with heartache and shame and sin, He's the only one who can do anything about it. You'll never clean those things up yourself. But through the power of His Spirit and the power of His blood, you'll find what you need in Him. He's coming. Are you ready? Should He come today? As we sing, why don't you?